Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, EB, and JP hanging out today. Cakes will join us in about 45 minutes. He's in Vegas. He has survived 2 days in the World Series of Poker, so we'll get an update from Cakes. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Barry's Verluga from the Washington Post. Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys.
How are you, buddy? What a day yesterday was, right?
Head spinning, yeah. I mean, you guys know how long Mike Rizzo has run that baseball department, and you know, we can talk about whether it was deserved or not, but you just, that news pops in and you take a deep breath and say, wow, they really did it. And you know, his life is different and Davey's life is different and the franchise is different. So pretty monumental day for that team.
Hey, as a reporter, what's a standard Sunday night like yours after, you know, a Nats game that ends at 4-ish? And then when something comes out like that, I mean, it just becomes an all-nighter.
Yeah, so, you know, you put down the fish tacos that you were making for dinner and wash your hands and head to the laptop. You know, I was texting and talking with some execs, you know, from across the game after filing a column about, you know, kind of assessing the job and what kind of person would be good, who's out there that would be good, and what has to be done to turn around, not just, you know, yeah, they got swept by the Red Sox and they had an 11-game losing streak, but kind of the underlying problems that have gotten them to this position, which I know we've talked about, had a lot to do with drafting and developing, which they really haven't done for the better part of a decade. So really, really important decision going forward. Obviously, I really think that the general manager or the president of baseball operations that they put in place should be able to hire his manager. And it really will be kind of revealing how the learners handle the GM search. They have had a slew of execs from different areas in their business leave for other jobs over the past couple of years. And in almost every case, they've just bumped up whoever was behind them and not, you know, gone out and try to figure out who the best and the brightest out there are. I don't think they can do that in baseball ops. And that's not to say Mike DiBartolo isn't deserving of a shot. He's a really thoughtful executive and has been there a long time and knows the good and the bad that's under the hood there. But he has to be put up against a list of qualified candidates who are allowed to come in and make their own presentations. And really, they should be seeking opinions from all across the sport because this is a major, major hire, and they haven't done that for whatever it is, 17 years since they put Rizzo in charge.
Barry, I remember when we had you on a few weeks ago, and we talked about the Nats a little bit and Rizzo, and I think you referred to Mike as like he's kind of like the furniture over there, right? He's been around for so long, and you alluded in this column that you wrote last night, that you kind of got the sense when you met with him in spring training that maybe people were a little too comfortable. You know, didn't feel that comfortable writing about it, but that was the sense you had. I know we had Chelsea on earlier, and she talked about this, the lack of urgency she felt maybe that was there when you compare a team like the Tigers. Talk about that kind of instinct that you had in spring training, why you didn't write it, why you thought that, and just how we got to this point.
So, yeah, and I, you know, in some ways I feel bad not writing that at the time because it sounds like kind of retrofitting the situation. But, you know, I as a columnist now with the team where it is in its development, like, I'm not going down to spring training twice for like 10 days at a time. I went down there once. I was there for, I think, 6 days of reporting. And I just, even though I sensed that, I felt like, man, like, there's everybody, and I don't even just mean Rizzo and Davey in terms of feeling comfortable. I thought the players took that cue, and like, you're C.J. Abrams and you're coming off getting banished at the end of last year. Like, you're James Wood and you're about to be a star, but no one it didn't feel like a competition, and I meant that kind of throughout the up and down the organization. But again, I held back because, you know what, I'm not going to get that sense over 6 days. They hadn't even, I left and they were just starting to play games. Like, mm-hmm. I could have been wrong. But in retrospect, I do feel like I was right. And that's some of a reflection on Rizzo and Davey, but I also think it's more a reflection on ownership because, mm-hmm. you know, they've had this kind of half-in, half-out thing for a while. And even though Mark Lerner sat down with me at spring training and said, you know, we feel like we're going to run this for the foreseeable future, it didn't feel, and it doesn't feel until last night, aggressive. Like, how can we make this better? What are we doing that's good? What are we doing that needs improvement? What people do we have in place and positions that we don't have in place should we thinking about? Should we be thinking about? So it just was like, it felt like kind of a malaise, and this move is a chance to change that and not just shuffle the deck, but really dive in and think about what have we not committed to that would help that kind of undercut Rizzo and his operation, because he'd tell you that he didn't have all the stuff, not just major league payroll, but, you know, bodies and technology and that kind of thing. That's what they have to kind of explore now, a full-scale look at what they do well and what they don't do well and who would help them and what would help them improve in all areas.
Barry, do you get a sense that the learners understand where they stand with the fan base right now? They're not Dan Snyder, because Dan had so many awful things associated with him, but they're the next closest thing right now. They're kind of like enemy number one. Like, people might say, okay, yeah, I could get Rizzo. I mean, you know, haven't won in years, and Davey and whatever. And okay, I can understand it. But man, most of the fan venom is pointed towards the learners, and it has been for several years now.
And I think it should be. And that's, you know, I think a lot of that is easy for fans to do in terms of major league payroll. Like, that's what you look at. They haven't, you know, since the World Series in 2020, they tried to run it back and they spent, and you know, it didn't work in the pandemic, shortened season. But since then, they haven't done that. They haven't been able to do multiple year deals. And Rizzo would tell you that that hamstrings a rebuild, because when they did it the first time, you know, you had young controllable players in place in Ryan Zimmerman and Ian Desmond and Jordan Zimmerman in the core that came up and became the centerpieces in a winning team. But you not only surrounded them with Jason Wirth, who would be there for 7 years, and it was invested in the product, not only that season, but in the seasons going forward, but in smaller deals for Adam LaRoche, people like that made it so the clubhouse was all in. And that has, in this rebuild, that's the major difference. Do they have high-end talent in James Wood and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and maybe Dylan Cruz? Yeah, they do, but they don't have veterans in there who can say, hey, guys, this is how you're a big leaguer. This is how we develop into a winning team. I'm going to be here not just past this trade deadline, but for years and years to come. And not doing that is on the learners. And I think pulling the plug on Rizzo and Davey was, I think it was the right time. But if they think that's going to take the heat off them, I think it turns the heat up on them more, because now they've got to make a decision about who's going to do this. And they've got to show that they're committed both in major league payroll and in building up the front office staff appropriately.
Talking to Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post, we talked to your colleague Chelsea Janes earlier in the show, and I was trying to get at this, and maybe you have a little more insight. You know, when we talk about the learners being the owners, what does it look like? How are they involved in, like, the day-to-day operations, if they are? Who's at the office? Is it just Mark Lerner? How does this all go down?
So it's a really interesting question, JP, and I think it's important that you kind of you get under the hood here and see how different they are from most major league organizations. So Mark Lerner is the point person for ownership. He's the person who's technically in charge, but they do almost everything by consensus with the two Ted Lerner sons-in-laws, Ed Cohen and Bob Tannenbaum, as well as Mark's sisters, Deborah Cohen and Marla Tannenbaum. Like, that's how they, it's one of the reasons it's been difficult to make decisions since Ted's death in February 2023 is because there's no North Star anymore. Like, they took his word and his guidance, and that was the most important thing. And he almost created consensus by default because he was such a powerful figure that they almost all revered. And so the other aspect is they had Stan Kasten as a team president when they took the ownership group, when they took over ownership in 2006. And since Kasten left in, I think it was 2011, he's been with the Dodgers since then, they have not had a forward-facing kind of point person to oversee all of baseball operations and the business side of things. And so that's another way that they're half in. There's a COO of Lerner Sports. His name is Alan Gottlieb. He's never forward-facing. He's not somebody you go to say, how is this decision made? What are you going to do next? And he has a pretty significant role with Lerner Enterprises, which means he's not at the ballpark all the time. He's not 100% leading the Nationals. And if you're a department head at the Nationals, you kind of don't know, you know, when are you going to have Alan's attention? Does he have authority to approve stuff? It's a lot easier for him to say no than yes. So it's just, it's not a normal operation, and that's their prerogative. If they think they have a better way to do it, that's fine. I do think it's yielded the results that have led them to fire their field manager and their general manager, because it just feels like they're half in a lot of ways.
Right. So that leads into my next question. Is it your opinion, Barry, that whoever takes over as GM, whether it's DeBartolo or someone else outside, that they will be dealing with the same restrictions that Mike has been dealing with since the COVID year?
Well, and that's the question, Eric. I mean, I'm sorry.
Chase. That was me,
yeah,
Jason.
Sorry.
Sorry. So, it's okay.
It's a big...
You had a long night.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a big question for anybody that comes in for an interview. Like, I think these conversations, if you're a potential candidate, have to be hard questions both ways because, you know, at some level, if the learners are going to use this opportunity to up their commitment into building a proper front office and a proper baseball operations department, well, that's too bad for Mike Rizzo, who didn't have that since the COVID years, for sure. I mean, he should have been afforded that opportunity with those resources. That being said, if you're coming in for an interview, and this includes if you're Mike DeBartolo, you have to ask them, what is your commitment to building this up to what it needs to be? Here's what I need in terms of data analysis, in terms of positions that are, you know, responsible for really nitty gritty stuff. And we're talking about like guys right out of college who would make $60,000-$70,000 a year, but are responsible for analyzing defensive catching across the major leagues. Like, there are other organizations that do exactly that. There are other organizations that at the major league level say, you are not taking a proper lead off of first base. You were at 11 feet. We need you at 13 feet. If you're going first to third, here's the angle that you need to go in at second. Like, those things aren't happening. And that kind of nitty gritty stuff takes people and process and resources. So if you're a candidate for this job, I don't think you want to take the job if you know you're going to be hamstrung before you get into the seat. Like, you want to know you're going to be properly funded and have a chance to compete with the best in the sport.
Well, we had Rizzo on last week, and your colleague wrote about this in the Washington Post. They're one of a few teams in Major League Baseball that doesn't have that arc technology. Yeah.
I mean, we asked him about that too.
Yeah, correct. And Mike, you know, what Mike did for so many years in having to answer questions for ownership. Like, he protected them because he did a really good job of managing up. I once had another GM say, who has the hardest job in baseball in managing up? I would go with, this GM was saying, I would go with Brian Cashman dealing with the Steinbrenners, and then I would go with Mike Rizzo dealing with the learners. Like, that's the kind of dysfunction that people across the game thought this was. So to bring it back to your point, JP, the about the technology, like, on the Junkies on Wednesday morning, Mike Rizzo is not going to throw the learners under the bus and say
he never did.
Yeah, they don't fund that kind of thing. It's a $500,000 that would be really, really helpful. He's going to say we have technology. It's not for everybody, but for some people it can really help. Like, it's a tough. There's a reason that when Spencer Nussbaum, our one of our beat writers, did that story, that Rizzo didn't comment, because the comments are not going to reflect well on what ownership is allowing him to explore. Now, I'm not saying that Mike Rizzo was like, you know, we need that technology. I'm not sure he was, but it's true that they don't spend like other people spend on things that are helping other franchises excel, and that just puts you behind. This franchise is behind in a lot of ways. Some of that has to do with Mike Rizzo and his baseball operations department's drafting and developing, but not all of it does. The bigger arrow points to ownership here.
So how attractive is the position if they're going to be dealing with that same nonsense that Mike dealt with?
Well, unless ownership is able to sit down and say, hey, we know we haven't done our jobs very well since the pandemic, and because we're committed to keeping this team, we know it takes a different commitment from us, not just in Major League payroll, but in all the elements that we've talked about up to this point. And you know, if they're not saying that to incoming candidates, and those candidates are being told, you know, we're not going to increase spending in personnel and technology and all the stuff you need to compete, then it's not a very attractive job. But in talking to and texting with some other execs who might be interested last night, in the right circumstances with the right level of commitment, like, it's an extremely attractive job. Like, you could, this market has shown it can compete when it's funded properly. They've won not just the World Series in 2019, but from 2012 to 19, only the Dodgers won more regular season games than this place. So, you know, it really depends. The attractiveness of the job really depends on how the learners can articulate and commit to what they're going to do differently than they have been over the last several years.
Hey, Mike, or Barry, I'm sorry, in 20 seconds or less, like, do we have any indication that there was an ultimatum given to Mike where they were like, we need you to let go of Davey, and he just refused to do it?
No, I don't have that at all. And I really think, Eric, that if you pull the string and say, hey, we're going to fire Davey, like, the arrow goes pretty quickly to Mike. But like, why? Well, the on-field performance stinks, but so does the drafting and developing. So I think they were a package deal.
Yeah, they kind of became one, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Barry, good stuff.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry.
Barry Zwalluga from the Washington Post. Again, we have a poll up. Did the Nationals make the right move by firing both Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo? You can vote at Junks Radio. Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies.